Turn to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. I did tell a couple people I'm losing my voice. And so if I'm up here preaching and you just stop hearing me, just head out the back and we'll just move on. We'll keep going. I'm so thankful we have a God that we can go to broken people. So good. I'm thankful to be here. It's been a blessing since the moment we've gotten here, the moment we've arrived, and the people that we've been able to meet. We've been blessed from the time we got to our hotel room. I just from what I've heard of this church and the people that I know, I know that it's a giving church and a serving church, and I can see your heart. And so we're so happy to be here. We're excited to be, and I'm excited to preach here for you. And I could go on for the next 20 minutes saying thank you for just how much of a blessing you all have just been, even in passing to us. But I think probably the best way I could show my thanks would just be to preach the message God gave us. So if you would you stand with me? We'll read Psalm 13. And I'm going to try my best to get through this. This is a Psalm of David. He says this: "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I'm moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Would you pray with me? Lord, I need your help. I'm unable and ill-equipped to preach the message you've given us. And I know that you have a message for your people today. And so I pray that you'd help me to not stand in the way, that you would communicate clearly through me your words, Lord, and your ideas, and that your people would hear and respond correctly, Lord. And we'll thank you for everything you've done already today. It's been a blessing already, and everything you plan to do, Lord, the plans you have for us. I pray that you have your hand on the rest of the service, Lord. It's in your name we pray and ask these things. Amen. You can be seated. Have you ever had a time in your life? And it's funny, I hesitate to ask, but have you ever had a time in your life where you had more questions than answers? And tragedy struck, a storm came, trials come, and whether through fault of your own or just unforeseen, they come overwhelmingly, and you're left with more questions than answers. And even where the place where David is, we don't have any background of the psalm. We don't know when he wrote it. People speculate that maybe he's running from Saul, or maybe it's at the later end of his life and his son has taken over and he's on the run again. Maybe he's in this situation through something that he's done. Maybe he's here through something that someone else has done. We don't know, and I think that's intentional. But the point where David is in, he's more questions than answers. And David, you know David. David knows the Lord, and he has a relationship with the Lord. And so it seems odd when you read it to think that these are the words of David, the man after God's own heart. These are his words. And it's almost accusatory how that he looks at the Lord and he says, how long would thou forget me? Lord, how long are you going to leave? It feels like you've forgotten me, like I'm alone in the trial, in the storm, like I'm by myself. Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? I read one man say that he wouldn't say how long if it hadn't been a long time. That David has been in this place with these questions weighing on his heart and weighing him down, and it seems like it's going to stretch on forever. Lord, how long will you forget me? And he goes on. Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Lord, I can't find you. And it's almost as if he's saying, Lord, I'm seeking your face, but I can't feel your presence. And it feels like I'm alone. Like I'm by myself. How long will I take counsel in my soul? What does that mean? Well, how long am I going to ask myself and go over with myself and try to find an answer? I can't find an answer from you, Lord. I don't see you. I don't feel you in my presence. I don't feel your presence. It feels like I'm alone. But how long will I speak to myself? That's what he's saying. How long will I speak to myself trying to put together an answer? You ever been there? when something happens, and I am a planner, and so when the plan goes off the rails, it to my core, it just shakes me. And David says, "Lord, I'm trying to put together some kind of answer, some kind of plan, and I don't have an answer. Are you going to forget me forever? Am I going to be by myself forever? Am I going to be alone forever? I can't feel your presence. I don't see your face, Lord. And when I try to come up with an answer, I come up empty. How long?" Look in verse 3, he says this: "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God." So I know that David's not too far removed from the Lord. He knows that it's the Lord my God. And let me say this, that I'm so thankful that God is not a fragile God. And so when we have those questions and we have those thoughts and we feel alone, we can take that to the Lord. We can go to him broken. And so I'm so thankful for that. And David says this, verse 3, "Consider and hear me, Lord. Lord, would you think about me? Would you notice me? Would you consider and hear me, O Lord my God? Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." What do you say in there? You remember the story in Samuel where Jonathan has gone out with his company and Saul has forbidden the people to eat. And so the entire army is starving and fighting and working in the heat and in the sun. And Jonathan just dips his staff his rod in a honeycomb and he eats it. And the Bible says that his eyes were lightened. It's like he was awakened. He was energized. And so David says this, "Lord, would you lighten mine eyes? Lord, would you give me some energy? I feel alone, Lord, but would you help me?" And then he says this, "Lord, if you don't help me, I'll die." That's the place that David's in, the depths that he's found himself. And whether the situation is fault of his own or whether it's something that's come upon him, we don't know. But David says this, "Lord, would you lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death?" He has internal struggles, the internal struggles, and he feels alone. But then there are external struggles coming upon him too. Look in verse 4. "Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." So he says, "Look, Lord, I feel like I'm by myself. I feel like there's no hope for me. This situation, whatever it is, this trial, the storm has gone on forever. I can't see an end, and it seems like there's no hope. Lord, but would you help me? Would you energize me? Lord, I need you to lighten mine eyes. And Lord, if you don't, I feel like death is at the next step." And he says, if that weren't enough, my enemies are here. It seems like I'm surrounded. And there are those that would say, you know, we've prevailed against him. We've conquered him. And now I feel like I'm in defeat. "Lest mine enemies say, I've prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I'm moved." And it seems as if he's at the very bottom. And I don't, one man said that if you've not experienced trials like this, or storms like this in life, if you live long enough, they will come. And so I'm confident that I know that this was a message for me when I first read it. And I'm confident that whether you're in the storm now or in the trial now, or whether you're struggling with these feelings right now in this situation, I'm confident that if you're not, then take the message and tuck it away, because the course of life, trials come and struggles come. And if you haven't yet or you aren't now, then one day you may feel like David, here alone and looking to the Lord, begging the Lord for help. And he says this, a shift, verse 5, "But I have trusted in thy mercy." Hallelujah. I've trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me. And there's so much we could say here about those verses alone, but it's so significant. And I want to take my time and say this, that this is not David just deciding in himself, or David just speaking to himself words of encouragement. It's not David just speaking out into the universe a positive resolution. That's not what's going on here. David is not claiming anything. He's not naming and claiming, "Lord, I know this is going to get better just because I'm just going to believe that it's going to be better." It's not the power of positivity. That's not what's going on here. David, in the depths of his trial, in the depths of his struggle, where he looks at his situation, in verse 5, the shift is from David looking at his situation and how legitimately terrible it may be. He turns and he looks at the Lord, and he says, it's almost as if he's run out of everything he could do, and he says, "Look, Lord, I know that I've trusted in your salvation before, and I know that I've trusted in your mercy," and it's almost as if he's saying, "Lord, I know that you're good. I know that you're good, and even when I can't see it in my situation, when I'm at rock bottom, and it feels like I'm not only surrounded by trials and storms, but I'm surrounded by enemies, and I know that death is just the very next step, and I feel like I'm at the very end of my rope. Lord, I know that when I feel alone, I can remember that you've been there for me in the past.
Yes, sir.
And I've trusted in your mercy and your salvation. He said, I've trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. And then what's the response? What does he do? I will sing unto the Lord. Because he has dealt bountifully with me. I am not, when I have my voice, I'm not a good singer. And so I was just planning on sitting over to the side and enjoying the men's choir. I'm not a good singer, but I know this, that there have been times in my life where I have felt the Holy Spirit move in my heart. And I know that without a doubt that there's no other response than just to praise God for how good he's been. But I want you to get this and understand this, that David's situation has not changed. He's still surrounded by trials and surrounded by enemies, and death is still the very next step, and he still feels all alone, possibly. Nothing has changed about his situation. He hasn't said, Lord, I know that you're going to be here. I know that you're going to change me. I know that you're going to save me from this, and just believed in that. His situation hasn't changed. But what's changed? Because now he's singing. He's gone from sorrowing to singing. So what has changed about David? It's his perspective. It's perspective. It's not the power of positivity. It's the power of perspective. And where before David was looking at his trials and his sorrows, and whether they were legitimate or not, he's looking at the situation that he's in, and he says, Lord, I don't see how you can work here. It's almost as if he's saying, Lord, I don't see how you can be good here. He turns, and he looks at the Lord, and he says, I know that you've been good in the past, and I know that I've enjoyed your salvation now. And so he says this, I will sing unto the Lord. Because he has dealt bountifully with me.
Amen.
That word bountifully, if you look it up, I would think it means like overabundance. It means like just what's been expected. And that maybe that doesn't help even a little, but the picture here is a baby being weaned from milk. The milk has supplied him and sustained him. And now the baby has grown to the point where he can eat food. He's been fed and supplied enough. He's received enough. And so David says this, and it's such a beautiful picture that David, in the very bottom of his situation, the very depths of despair, David, it's like he looks around and nothing has changed, but his heart and his relation to the Lord. And he looks at the Lord and he says, Lord, I know that you're good. And when I can't see it in this situation, when it feels like I'm being overcome by enemies and trials and strife, Lord, when I don't perceive it, I'm going to choose to trust in your goodness. Lord, I know that you've given me everything that I need. That's his message. You've given me everything I need. And when I don't see it, Lord, I'll believe that you've given me everything I need. And I know that you all have been such an encouragement to us. And so I know that this isn't like an environment where you would come in everything sad and sorrowful. I know this, but I know that it's very easy in the climate today for Christians, just Christians in general, to feel overwhelmed with everything that's going on. I mean, you think of like, you watch the news for 5 minutes and it's just filled with despair, and you think, what is going on in the world that we could be in the point where we are now, or that we could have arguments or political arguments that we're having now that if you look back 30 years ago, that would never have been thought of that they would come up. And you could look at society and say, what is happening? You could look at society or the state of our world and our culture at large and say, Lord, where are you? Are you working? And I think of even the teenagers, the struggles and trials that they faced are questions and issues that adults faced 30 years ago, and they're before their face now. And so it could be easy as a parent to look and say, Lord, where are you? Or when you go to work and surrounded by a ungodly culture, and you try your very best just to stay straight and keep your thought life right, and it could be easy to feel overwhelmed and say, Lord, where are you? Or you're struck with tragedy, loss of a family member, loss of a child. I think of the recent events over in Texas, and to grapple with that, say, Lord, in this situation, Lord, where are you? And I wish I had a more comprehensive answer for you. And I don't. David doesn't give us any. But he says this, that when I don't perceive, when I look at my situation and I can't see how God is good, I'm going to trust that God's good because I know that he is. He's been good in the past. I know that he'll be good. He can't be anything but good. And so in any possible situation, How in the world could you go from sorrowing and grieving to singing praises? It's by keeping your eyes on the Lord and his goodness. That's all I have. Thank you. We'll pray, and then the service will move on. But I just want to encourage you with that no matter how dark the situation is, the Lord is there and good. And he'll give you everything that's needed.